Genesis chapter 29, please. Let's read verses 4 to 6. Genesis chapter 29, verses 4 to 6. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to worship you. And we are thankful for our mother's love. And we're so thankful, O God, for the love and sacrifice that they have demonstrated towards us as children. And Lord, help us to be thankful. And O God, as we spend these few moments within your eternal word, I pray that you would teach us and encourage us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As I was considering the blessing of motherhood and the blessings that come from having a loving mother, I was reminded of the fact that parents, especially mothers, they have a strong desire for their children to be happy. Mothers want their children to be happy. And I think you and I as a parent would appreciate that, and those of you that are mothers understand what I'm referring to. We want our children to be happy. And for those of us that are of mature age as parents, we understand in order to be happy, we need to have happy relationships. And we as Bible-believing parents, Bible-believing fathers, Bible-believing mothers, want our children to know the Lord Jesus as personal Saviour. We understand that there is only lasting happiness found in Christ and Christ alone. But also we understand as parents that we want our children to be happy, and that involves a happy relationship. There needs to be a healthy relationship, and we desire as parents and fathers, mothers, we desire for our children. We want them to be happy, and yet we understand they need to have a relationship that will cultivate happiness. So as we study Genesis chapter 29, we began the other week and we noted some principles to look out for and some principles that will help us, not only as young people but also as parents, to consider and to pray through on the behalf of our children. They will marry the right person, God's choice, for that child of ours, and therefore that they will be happy. We've noted so far within this chapter that the principle of progress, that Jacob journeyed to Haran, and we noted the fact of progress for young couples, the making of a happy home. It's so critically important that those involved within that relationship are progressing. And let me encourage you, young adult singles, as you consider God's choice for your life, ask the question, are they progressing? Are they progressing spiritually? Are they moving ahead spiritually? And parents, as you consider that right partner for your son or your daughter, ask that very question. Are they progressing, especially in a spiritual sense? And then we also noted from the life of Jacob that he was a man of perseverance, and we want to see perseverance in the lives of God's people. especially in a future spouse, so critically important that there is the quality of perseverance. We noted then verse number 2, please, the word looked. He looked. Jacob observed what was taking place. He finally arrived at his destination. He observed. He noted a well, and we stressed the fact that a well within the Scriptures speaks of God's blessing. Always speaks of God's blessing. And let me encourage you, young adult singles, let me encourage you, parents, as you try to help and encourage and pray for your son and your daughter concerning a lifetime partner, ask the question. Observe, do you see a well? Do you see the evidence of God's blessing in that potential spouse? So Jacob was observant, but also he asked questions. He probed. He asked this group of shepherds by the well, where are you from? And do you know Laban? Is he well? He understood the importance of asking questions. And let me encourage you, young adult singles, ask questions. Ask questions. Parents, in encouraging your child to marry the right partner for life, ask questions. So critically important. This is what Jacob did. He asked some relevant questions. And note there in verse number 6, once again, he asked the question concerning Laban. That's whom Jacob was looking for. Jacob was looking for his uncle. Is he well? And they said in verse 6, yes, he's well. And then they went on to say, and they said, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. So Rachel is introduced to Jacob at this point. And Jacob has just arrived in Haran, and this is his first recorded encounter with the people of the land. And we noted that he asks for after his uncle Laban, and upon answering that question, the shepherds said, well, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with sheep. And I'd like to just stress the importance this morning of timing. God's timing here is precise in the life of Jacob. God's timing is always precise for all of God's people. The Bible teaches us in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. My friend, the Lord Jesus has provided forgiveness for all mankind. And I'd like to encourage you, my friend, this morning on this Mother's Day, that you would know the Lord Jesus in a very personal way. Because God's timing is perfect. Man was in need of a Savior, and in the fullness of time, God the Father sent forth his son, born of a woman, in order to die for our sins and to provide forgiveness for the whole world. God's timing is always precise. God in his fullness of time provided a Savior. And likewise, young men and young ladies, God in his fullness of time will reveal that spouse for you and I. In Psalm 37, verse 23, it reads, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. God's timing is always perfect. And let me encourage you, young adult singles and young adult men, wait upon the Lord. God's timing is always perfect. And it's no coincidence that here's Jacob, and he's by a well, and he happens to be asking after his uncle Laban, and the shepherds respond by saying, behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with his sheep. Oh, his daughter Rachel will be here very soon with Laban's sheep. And I'd like for us to know concerning Rachel, obviously she was a dependable individual, a predictable individual, because the shepherds had no question mark concerning the fact that Rachel is coming with Laban's sheep. And if you would just turn back to Proverbs chapter 31 for a moment, and the Bible here in verses 11 and 12 of Proverbs 31. Makes reference to a virtuous woman, a godly woman, and I'd like for us to note the principle of dependability, predictability, consistency. Note then Proverbs 31, verses 11 and 12, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Dependable, verse 12, she will do him good and not evil, all the days of her life. Dependable. So we see the principle of dependability in the life of Rachel. These shepherds said, as a matter of fact, Laban is not only well, his daughter Rachel will be here very soon, here by the well. So obviously the shepherds conveyed the fact that Rachel was a dependable individual. She could be relied upon to be there by the well in order to care for her father's sheep. Let me ask you this morning, are you dependable? A mark of a virtuous woman is dependability. The mark of a Christ-honoring Christian is dependability. Young men, young ladies, let me ask you to consider the principle of dependability. In that potential spouse, in that potential young man, young lady, do you see the quality of dependability? We see this in Rachel. She was dependable. She was predictable. The shepherd said, oh, shortly Rachel will be here with the sheep. So obviously Rachel was a dependable, consistent individual. The shepherds had no doubt in the fact that, oh, Laban's daughter Rachel will be here. Are you dependable? There are some men that are looking for the perfect wife, a perfect spouse. And may I encourage men, for those of you that have that mentality, well, why don't you be that perfect young man? And you might attract somebody of high quality. I hear it all the time. Oh, Pastor, I just can't, you know, there's none out there. That's not true. That's not true. And you're looking for a 10 out of 10 spouse? Well, you be a 10 out of 10 individual. You be dependable. Because the probability is that you will reap what you sow. And so let me encourage you to be dependable. Parents, as you pray for a spouse, for your son or your daughter, pray that God will provide a dependable individual, somebody that's consistent. Ask the question, what's their consistency? Do they have a job? How long have they been in their job? Are they going to continue with their job? Are they dependable? See, Rachel was a dependable individual. A mark of a virtuous woman is her dependability. But also note there, as we read on, in verse number 9, that it reads, and while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. So while Jacob was talking to these shepherds, Rachel arrives at the well, the Bible teaches us. She arrives at the well with her father's sheep. And note the little phrase, for she kept them. She arrives at the well with some sheep. Rachel is a shepherdess. Not common, but often out of necessity, it wasn't unusual. Rachel was a female shepherd, a shepherdess. Not a glamorous job. Rachel was willing to look after sheep. And from this very humble position, she will become a prominent woman in God's economy. It's been well said that lowly tasks do not hinder elevation. It is lowly character that does. Lowly tasks do not hinder elevation. It is lowly character that does. Rachel reflected some character. Rachel was not only a dependable individual, she could be relied upon, but Rachel was a woman that understood duty. It needed to be done. My father's sheep need to be cared for. And Rachel was prepared to meet those needs. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 31, please. Proverbs chapter 31. Let's note verses 13 to 15. So we see within Rachel the principle of not only dependability, but duty. She was prepared to fulfill her duty, which was to care for her father's sheep. Not a glamorous job, not a high-paying job, but a job that needed to be done. Note then, Proverbs 31, verses 13 to 15, she seeketh wool and flax, she worketh diligently with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maids. Another mark of a virtuous woman is a woman that is given and understands the principle of duty. I need to fulfill my duties. I need to fulfill my responsibilities. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, the Bible teaches us. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Rachel was a woman of dependability. Rachel was a woman that was prepared to fulfill her duty. She wasn't a negligent individual. And young men, young ladies, let me exhort you, consider that potential spouse. Are they a responsible individual? Are they prepared to do the lowly things? Are they prepared to look after sheep if the need arises? Are they individuals? Are they an individual that's prepared to give themselves over to duty? Not a prestigious responsibility. But yet Rachel was prepared to look after her father's sheep. And parents, let me encourage you as you pray over a spouse for your son or your daughter, consider the principle of not only dependability. Is this individual dependable? Are they an individual also that are given to duty? They will fulfill their God-given responsibilities. Note then verse number 10, please, that Rachel, upon arriving with her father's sheep, note verse number 10. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. So upon Rachel arriving at the well with Laban's sheep, the Bible teaches us that Jacob was willing to roll up his sleeves and care for Laban's sheep. The shepherds around him were not doing anything, it would seem. Not sure what they were waiting for. But Jacob decides to take the lead. And he removes the stone off the face of the well on his own. And then begins to water Rachel's sheep, or Laban's sheep, all on his own. Jacob sees the need and is prepared to meet the need. He wasn't lazy. He rolled up his sleeves and started serving. And let me ask you this morning, is that potential spouse full of excuses as to why it cannot be done? Or are they an individual that has a measure of initiative? We see a wonderful quality in the life of Jacob here, a man that was willing to meet a need. He was willing to serve. This group of shepherds that were there by the well, they told Jacob, well, we're just waiting. We're just waiting for the sheep to arrive and then for somebody to remove the stone. Well, who were they waiting for? Were they expecting Rachel to remove the stone? They probably were. That's a mark of a lazy man. Expects the dear lady to do a man's work. And that's what the context implies. It's no different today. We have some lazy men today. Say amen. True, lazy men that are not prepared to roll up their sleeves and do what men need to do. We stand back and we have women doing what men ought to be doing. And this was this group of shepherds. They were there waiting for somebody. I'm not sure who it was. I couldn't imagine them expecting that Rachel would roll back that stone. But I can assure you that Rachel would have had the strength to roll back that stone. Amen. God makes women tough. Okay? It might be the weaker vessel, but God makes them tough. Tough but delicate. But Jacob was a man. And he saw the need, and on his own, he rolled back that stone, and he began to water the sheep. He began to provide water for this flock of sheep. Meanwhile, while this is taking place, no doubt Rachel's just observing, watching. She's never met this fellow before. Up until this point, she has little idea that this is actually her cousin. She doesn't know that as yet. So she's observing what's happening here. This fellow rolls back the stone on his own and he begins to water her sheep. She's pondering, she's considering. She's observing. She's reserved, shy, modest. The Bible talks about a meek and quiet spirit, and we see this in the life of Rachel, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Observing what was happening. And young ladies, let me encourage you this morning, observe that potential spouse in your life. Just watch. Observe. What do you see? Take note of what you see when you see it. It'll tell you a whole lot about that person, whether they ought to be considered as a future lifetime partner. This is what Rachel does. She observes. She observes. Note then verse 11 and 12, please, that following Jacob watering Laban's sheep, or providing water for Laban's sheep, note then verse 11 and 12, that Jacob kissed Rachel. Now remember, this is his cousin. So don't get too excited. Jacob kissed Rachel. And then the Bible teaches us in verse 11 that he lifted up his voice and he wept. He was overcome with emotion. This is his cousin. He's never seen Rachel before. So he's overcome with emotion. He pecks her on the cheek and he begins to weep. He shows some compassion. Young ladies, let me encourage you, make sure you don't marry a cardboard box. You want to see some emotion. Jacob wasn't a cardboard box. He kissed her and he was overwhelmed with emotion as he meets his cousin, Rachel. Look at verse 12. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, related to her father. That's what it means. and that he was Rebekah's son. I'm your cousin. Your mother and my dad are brothers and sisters. And note what she does at the end of verse 12. She ran and told her father. So no doubt Rachel's observing this young man, rolling back that stone, watering the sheep, and not soon after, Jacob comes over and pecks her on the cheek, and then he gets all emotional, and Jacob reveals the fact to Rachel that, hey, I'm your cousin, we're related. We are family. So what does Rachel do with that? Well, the Bible teaches us at the end of verse 12 that she ran and told her father what any decent young lady would do. Would disclose to her parents exactly what's happening. See, she doesn't keep it to herself. She goes back and she reports back to her father, her authority, Dad, you won't believe what has just happened. She honors her father by revealing everything that has happened. Rachel was not only an individual that was dependable, she observed what had happened. She was a shy, modest, reserved in Jacob's presence. And all of a sudden, Jacob reveals to her, hey, I'm your cousin. That's why I kissed you on the cheek. So she runs back and tells her father. Rachel understood the importance of parental involvement and parental approval. She shared with him all that had happened. She didn't keep back anything from her father. Her father Laban does give his approval of Jacob as a person. Now, I'm not sure that Laban has marriage in view once he meets Jacob, but I would dare say that there is a respect here and there is an honor here for parental authority. And I don't read in the context that Jacob quickly grabs Rachel and said to Rachel, Rachel, whatever you do, don't tell your father what I just did. We don't read of that. Rachel runs back home and tells Dad everything that had happened. So I believe Rachel was a young lady that understood authority. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible teaches us the woman was deceived, being in the transgression. And it's so critically important that you and I remain under God-appointed authority. And this dear young lady went back and told her father everything that had happened. And young men, young ladies, as you consider a lifetime spouse, consider their attitude towards authority. Take note of it. Do they honor authority? What's their attitude towards their parents? Do they honor and obey their parents? Do you see the evidence of that? How do they refer to their parents? What do they say about their parents? Is there an honor for parental authority? Because if that's amiss, more than likely there is a miss concerning their attitude towards God's authority in their life. See, your attitude towards the established delegated authorities in your life is a reflection of your attitude towards divine authority in your life. That's just how it is, because all authority stems back to God. And Rachel and Jacob, we don't read that Jacob said, "Oh, Rachel, whatever you do, don't tell Dad what I just did. He'll kill me." Doesn't say a word. Tells her the reason why he kissed her. Tells her the reason why he was emotional. And Rachel runs back and tells her father her authority in her life. What a wonderful example. And parents, as you pray through and as you consider a lifetime spouse for your son or your daughter, consider the fact, what's their attitude towards authority? How do they treat their mum and dad? It'll tell you a whole lot about them. Rachel was a wonderful woman, a woman that understood authority. So she went back and told her dad, and note then verse 13 and 14, and it came to pass that when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, note what he did. Did he come out with an axe and a saw and a hammer? Who is this guy pecking my daughter on the cheek?